Thank you, Tammy. I appreciate that. I'll call your attention quickly to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. The title of the message today is David Wore a Linen Ephod Also. David Wore a Linen Ephod Also. Chapter 15, verse 27. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and the Chenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers. And David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of the cornet, and with the trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. The background of our text today is this. David had the desire in his heart to have a place in Jerusalem, a city that he had conquered, where God would be honored. He knew about the Ark of the Covenant. He knew that between the wings of the cherubim, that the presence of God was there. And so he had the desire to bring this ark to Jerusalem. Well, our companion passage to this is found in Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, the story goes like this. Well, David gets a procession together. Big parade. They take the Ark of the Covenant and they put it on a cart. There's a problem with that. Well, as the procession begins to head toward Jerusalem, the oxen stumble. It jerks the cart. The ark is about to fall off of the cart. A man named Uzzah reaches out and touches the Ark of the Covenant, and God strikes him dead. David is displeased with this. I mean, after all, I'm trying to do something for God. And it also says in chapter 13 of Chronicles, David was afraid of God. Well, that's not always a bad thing. We should have a healthy respect and reverence and awe for the Lord. He's God and we're not. And so when Uzzah is smitten, David says, I'm done. And he says, you take that ark and you put it in this guy's house. The man that he put the ark in his house was a man named Obed-Edom. And all of a sudden, God began to bless Obed-Edom. David has gone back to his dwelling place there in the old town of Jerusalem. But he begins to hear something. And what does he hear? He hears that everything that Obed-Edom has is being blessed. His kids are being blessed. His finances are being blessed. His livestock are being blessed. Everything that this man has is being blessed of God. And so David begins to hear these things. Emotions begin to subside a little bit, and now 3 months has passed. And he's heard all the blessings of Obed-Edom's house. And as he began to think about the last 3 months, ever since Uzzah had been smitten, He's doing some internal review. What does God want me to do? I thought this was God's idea about having a place in Jerusalem. And then I don't know if some council gave him this. I don't know if it was Ahithophel. I don't know who it was. Maybe God put it in his heart. But he began to realize that there's a certain way to do God's work and a certain way not to do God's work. And he began to think, you know, we put that ark on a cart. Moses told us to carry it on poles. And so he said, next time we'll do it the way that Moses commanded us to do it. And so after 3 months, he said, we'll do this again now. He calls the Levites together and he says, you sanctify yourselves. You make sure you're ceremonially clean. And you get those poles and you run it through those hoops and you put it on your shoulders and we're going to go to Jerusalem with the Ark of God. He decided that it was better to do it God's way than the Philistines' way, because if you read over in Samuel, you'll find that the Philistines took that ark after God had smitten them, and they put it on a new cart with milk cows that had just given birth, and those cows brought it back to the land of the people of God. And so what you have is you've got him doing it God's way this time. And as they're walking, about every 6 paces, about every 20 feet, they stop. I don't know if the Levites changed out, but I know that they stopped, and there was a sacrifice that was made to praise God for the fact that the presence of God was now going to be in Jerusalem. Well, every 20 feet, more bullocks are sacrificed. And when they get to the gates of the city, most scholars think that Psalm 24 is the psalm that was written to commemorate this. If you'll hold your place in Chronicles and flip over to Psalm 24 quickly, let me read the last 4 verses. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. The psalmist is literally almost speaking to the gates of the city. The picture is this of a conqueror that has conquered a city, and now he is getting ready to go in triumphantly. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. It's almost as though the gates or the doors are not large enough for this king. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then he says it again. Just a moment ago, what did we do? We sang that verse and we refrained it. We did it 2 or 3 times. The psalmist is doing this same thing here. Verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And so you can see how the psalmist is relating to this story of David as he's standing there. The ark is there. And they begin to march in. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people are watching. It says that all of Israel was there. And basically, that's a phrase that means that all of the representatives from the various tribes, from Dan to Beersheba, the length and breadth of the land of Israel, are there. And so you've got hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are in this parade and watching from the sides. Well, as they walk in, there's something negative that takes place. Saul had a daughter named Michal. And she's looking from a window down, and what does she see? She sees her husband. He doesn't have a priestly garb on. He's got a plain, fine linen tunic on. And then on top of that, he's got a plain old ephod that he is wearing. What is wrong with him? He's the king. He is special. But I want you to notice on this day, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about the man that had killed Goliath. It wasn't about the man that had conquered the city that he was now in charge of. David had one thought and one thought only. This is about God. And so on this day, he takes his royal robe off and he puts on just a normal robe that other people would wear. He doesn't take an ephod, which is basically like an apron on the front with an apron on the back that would be held by little buckles on the shoulder. He didn't take one that is colorful like the high priest would have. Oh no, he's just an average guy today. And I want us to think this morning about this. In God's service, there are no big me's and little you's or big you's and little me's. We are all on equal footing. We are all priests before the Lord. You've got access to God just like I've got access to God. And so David is walking in, and it says that he is dancing. Now, if you've ever had a teenage daughter, you've had this conversation. David danced. Dad, can I go to the dance? No, because David didn't have a partner. If you look it up in the Hebrew, check any commentary you want to, and it has this idea. He was skipping like a lamb. He was leaping. He was excited and so enthusiastic about the presence of God. Do you know what it says about the beginning of this trip? When they put that ark on those poles and they walked out of the door of Obed-Edom's house, do you know how they began to head toward Jerusalem? The Bible says they did it with joy. There was something about that trip that was different than that first trip. And every 20 paces there would be a sacrifice. And David was just like, after the first two or three, he's like, I think God's pleased. Nobody's been killed. And so they got to Jerusalem, and by this time, he is jazzed. He is excited. The presence of God is going to be in Jerusalem, and everybody can be blessed now, and not just Obed-Edom. He was happy for old Obed, but he wants everybody to get in on it. And may I say this morning that I want everybody to get in on Jesus. If you've got the Lord in your life, the presence of God in your life, you're going to be blessed. When God's presence is there, trouble can come, but it's okay. Hard times can come, but with the Lord, it's okay. And so this morning, I want to give you a couple of quick thoughts and we'll be done. First of all, he's wearing a fine linen. No royalty. It was all about giving God the glory. Is that not what we're commanded to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. This morning we sang. This morning we had testimonies. This morning we're having some preaching. In a little bit, some of us will be going downstairs and there'll be a big dinner. Everything ought to be to glorify the Lord. It shouldn't be that I didn't get my accolade today. Well, I should have been the one singing today. I should have been one today. Well, it's all about the Lord. Not only that, I want you to notice that when he wore that ephod also, he was planning on something. He was planning on being a part of it. Do you know that you and I, when we come to church, we ought to be a part of the worship? We ought not sit there like a bump on a log. We ought to say, man, I'm glad to be here, and I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to sing to God's glory today. I'm going to listen to the Word of God to God's glory today. I'm going to pray to God's glory today. And David, he said, I am going to be a part of this public worship. I'm going to wear just the common clothing, and everything is going to be about the Lord. And so there was a public display. Now his wife didn't like it. And maybe it was because she was the daughter of Saul. You know, Saul was an arrogant old cuss. He was a prideful man. And perhaps his daughter got some of that. We do know this. We know from chapter 19 that she's an idol worshiper. I don't know if she learned that her father had gone to a seer. But we do know that she had false idols. And here she is criticizing her husband. Why? Because he loves God. How sad it is when husbands will not encourage their wives to love the Lord. Or wives will not encourage their husbands to love the Lord. Or parents will not encourage their children to love the Lord. But yet David has got this battle at home. And the Bible says that God gave her no children because of that. And so there was a public part of it. There was a humble part of it. We ought to come not with pride in our hearts and nothing prideful or boastful in our souls, but we ought to have some humility about us. Humble yourself under the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And then there was an intensity in his worship. He did it on purpose. He didn't just kind of wander in and think, well, I wonder what's going on in Jerusalem today. Oh, no. There was some preparation that had been made. And when we come to church, there ought to be some preparation that's already made. You ought not come in here and go, well, I'll see if the preacher can bless me today. You ought to come with your blessing receiver already turned on, ready to receive. When somebody says, brother, it's good to see you, there ought to be something inside that says, glory to God. Somebody's glad I'm here. When somebody gets up to sing and they sing a song and maybe it touches you a little bit, you say, glory to God, I'm glad I got to hear that today. Somebody opens the Word of God and you think, man, I've never thought of a passage like that. My heart's been blessed because I have never thought about it that way. And you come ready to receive. And so I hope that you will worship God, not just today on purpose, but I hope that you'll worship God regularly on purpose. So when you think about David this morning, I want you to think about that plain linen ephod that he wore. Nothing royalty about it. Hey, don't look at him as the king. You look at him as just somebody that's worshiping God today. I know you probably get sick of hearing me talk about Israel. But it's different once you go. In the old part of Jerusalem, the old city, they have a place where they have unearthed the ruins of David's palace. You can walk around and you can see various rooms And then they have a little area that you can walk out on, and you can look down the slope to the old city, and you can just see and visualize all types of stories. You have a king, and he's in the high place, and he's looking down on those people below him. But one of the things that my first guide told was this. He said, the location of David's palace is the second highest location in the old city of Jerusalem. And he said, in ancient times, the king would take the highest spot. But that wasn't David's thought. David's attitude was, God gets first place. I'll take the second place. And when they brought this ark in on those poles, they marched up, they marched up, they marched up. And when they got to the peak of that old city, there had been a tabernacle that had been erected. It was a tent. Because you see, the temple hadn't been built yet. And the tabernacle was there. And they went in the highest place in Old Jerusalem. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. Why? Because they wanted people to look up. And they wanted to see the Shekinah of God. And God's presence would be with them. At Corinth Baptist Church, I want the Shekinah of God to be all over the faces of the people that call this church home. If you're a guest today and you go to another church, and it's a good church, I want the Shekinah of God to be all over you. Why? Because there is nothing more important than the presence of God in your life. David wore a linen ephod, just like everybody else that was in service that day. Get off the high horse. Make it about him. Do it for his glory. Live humbly, not pridefully, and seek the presence of God more than anything else. Let's stand together.